Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. The latest on health and healing and living a longer life. We're going to talk about if you eat chicken, you should know how it's inspected. If you want a safe way to see whether or not you have some cancerous growth in your breast, I do not recommend. In fact, I challenge the safety of mammography, but I do support another therapy. Red wine and green tea can help stop prostate cancer, according to the latest research. I'll share that with you. Ginkgo biloba cuts Alzheimer's risk by 47%. And also, for those of you who eat shark fish, which a lot of people do, there's a drug-resistant bacteria in it. Better be aware of that. From our environmental segment, water samples taken from what was considered one of the cleanest, purest water sources in the world, from the Upper Ganges River, that's where at the foot of the Himalayas, now contains some of the superbugs. Well, how'd that happen? I'll get into that. We'll also talk about activism in a good way. For all of you who have been listening to this program, sharing the information, watching Seeds of Death, by the way, Google Seeds of Death. You're sitting now at your computer if you're listening over the internet. Just go up on Google and see how many hits it has. This is really important because a lot of people don't realize the power of sharing information over the internet. Let me just show you right now. Seeds of Death, and you'll see that the documentary is in every position. Let's see, about 95 million results in 0.38 seconds. The movie Seeds of Death, I'm going clear down the page, every single one of these. Now, what this means is this. It doesn't mean that 95 million people are watching this film. What it means is that when people are looking for Seeds of Death, they're seeing this information, which gives them an opportunity to become aware of the battle over GMOs, genetically modified organisms. That means that if they choose, they can then watch the film. From one site here, I'm looking 773,000 watches. That's just one of thousands of sites. So when you watch something, post it, because that's how we bypass the censorship of the mainstream media. That's how we get by them and share information. That's why everywhere in the world, the people are fighting back, and we're winning. I'll go into our activism is destroying Monsanto and other mega corporations. Anthony Guzzieri has something on that. I'll also talk today about why we should be positive and optimistic. And also, why is war not a good thing? Why is the military-industrial complex not a good thing? And I'll give you six good reasons for that. Also next week, Ray McGovern, who has sued the State Department for putting him on a watch list. So, of course, many people who are activists know that Ray McGovern was almost 30 years a CIA analyst. And he's, I think, 78 or 9, close to 80. Anyhow, he was at a Hillary Clinton lecture where she was talking about freedom of speech. And he stood up and turned his back, didn't say a word. He was roughed up, and now he's on all these watch lists. That's what's happening in America, and that has to be addressed. He'll be here to address that. My guest in the second part of our program today from Spain is Daniel Estulin, and we're going to talk about something that I'll bet most of you have not heard of, the new age of transhumanism and the future deconstruction of human beings. It's happening now. He is an award-winning investigative journalist, and he is well known for having secretly infiltrated the agendas and conversations at the infamous Bilderberg meetings. His background is in military intelligence. And so he is going to talk about this very interesting topic. I suggest you let your friends or others know that this conversation is going to happen. This is not a conversation they would normally hear. So anyhow, we have a lot to share. This is going to be one of those empowerment hours. And my goal each program is to share at least a minimum of 50 important, empowering pieces of information. Let's see if I'm able to do that today. Ready? Let's go. You eat a piece of chicken. All right. If you eat chicken, you're assuming that the chicken you're eating is safe, right? USDA, quote, takes this bad idea of speeding up chicken inspection lines and makes it worse, from the Daily Cause, from V.L. Baker. Quote, the Obama administration's Agriculture Department has been pushing its proposal to modernize chicken processing inspection to include speeding up inspection lines and using fewer inspectors. Well, boy, let me just think of that. They get about 6 seconds to inspect a chicken. How can you possibly inspect a chicken in 6 seconds? You can't. So they want to make it faster. Well, of course, we know all this chicken that gets through each year is loaded with bacteria. And we know that the USDA is reviewing whether the bacteria-killing chemicals are actually masking salmonella rather than killing it. So anyhow, their so-called idea for modernization of chicken inspection, don't bet on it. The meat industry has control of the USDA. That's a fact. The USDA dictates to the White House what should benefit the farm industry. That's a fact. When you eat chicken, you're taking your life in your hands and could end up with food poisoning. That's an absolute fact. So now they're going to make it easier for you to get sick. I did my first program against mammography, and my first guest on the topic was Dr. Samuel Epstein, MD, PhD, chairman of the Department of Environmental Sciences, University of Illinois. That was in 1976. Today, he and I are equally opposed. He has done the most of anyone I know of in the world to document the dangers and the fraud of mammography. What can you do instead? How about thermography? Therm, T-H-E-R-M, ography, O-G-R-A-P-H. It's a safe, accurate, and reliable alternative to mammograms. Now, thermography is very simple. It's carried out based upon infrared heat emissions by the body's tissues as your bodily cells go about their normal metabolic processes. They give off heat. Cancerous tumors tend to emit more infrared heat than their healthy counterparts. Quite simply, they are hotter. So using information on the varying heat emissions, thermography is able to produce images that provide insight into the functional status of a specific area of the human body, in this case, the breast. Further, as compared to normal tissue, cancerous growths are also regulated to a much lower extent by the autonomic nervous system. For example, when cool air is blown over the breast, the autonomic nervous system lowers the amount of blood flow to normal breast tissue as a means of temperature regulation. The blood and blood vessels at the tumor site, however, are not under the autonomic control regulations, and the blood and the blood vessels at the tumor site, however, are not under any of this, so as a result, they don't become cooler. Hence, thermography would show the abnormal tissues as hot spots. It's really simple. The woman is screened, stands bare-chested about 10 feet from the machine, and imaging lasts only a few minutes. The results are available instantaneously on the monitor. So that is what we should be doing. No ionizing radiation, no mechanical pressure are used. Thermography does not increase cancer risk or promote cancer spread, as does mammography. Mammography, in my opinion, should be banned. Now, we have known for a long time that red wine is healthy. Why? Well, we know that it's filled with different, what are called polyphenols. And these are actually antioxidants. And we also know that green tea is rich in antioxidants and also chemicals that promote the stimulation of the immune system. Now we can see from new studies, as reported in the peer-reviewed Federation of American Societies of Experimental Biology journal, that by taking red wine and green tea, you reduce your risk of prostate cancer, even can stop prostate cancer, the combination. So that's very important. A research team conducted lab experiments which show green tea and wine polyphenols killed prostate cancer cells by inhibiting the cell pathway that's essential for malignancies to survive and thrive. And that is good news. Now, I would suggest instead of red wine, take a red wine concentrate, which has no alcohol, and it's concentrated, so it's about 10 times more beneficial than the red wine itself. And that will help you. Peaches, plums induce death of breast cancer cells. Who says this? Science Daily. Where is it said? The peer-reviewed Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry. Where was it done? Texas Agricultural Life Research Division. This is mainstream science saying what many of us have been saying for a long time in the alternative field. Peaches, plums, raspberries, blackberries, pomegranates, goji berries, wolfberries, mangosteen, gooseberries. These are all important for breast health. Let me say what Science Daily reports. Breast cancer cells, even the most aggressive type, died after treatments with peach and plum extracts and lab tests. That's outstanding. Not only did the cancerous cells die, but the normal cells were not harmed in the process. Quote, it was a different effect, which is what you're looking for, because its current cancer treatment with chemotherapy kills cancer, all cells, and it's really rough on the body, end quote. So in this way, they killed the cancer cells, but not the good cells. So it's great news, and so just keep including peaches and plums into your diet, and that'll help you. Ginkgo biloba cuts Alzheimer's risk by 47% than the French Guide Age study. They tried ginkgo on a group of elderly people suffering from memory complaints with 240 milligrams of ginkgo per day, or a placebo, a sugar pill. And they found that there was a statistically beneficial effect that was considered, quote, remarkable using ginkgo. Quote, it is the first time ever that a protective effect against Alzheimer's disease has been demonstrated for a medicine. The multifaceted effects of the plant extract appear to possibly influence the complex developmental process of dementia, end quote. And that was from Professor Michael Habs of the center. So that's good news for ginkgo and to be used for helping dementia, memory loss. I would use it for anything concerning the brain. For those of you who are having problems with hay fever, new research shows that pycnogenol, which, by the way, is a very outstanding antioxidant plant extract derived from the bark of the French maritime pine tree, reduces substantially the symptoms of hay fever. Quote, allergic rhinitis is often mistakenly believed to be trivial as a health problem, while people suffering from hay fever may disagree as they experience a dramatic impairment in their quality of life, says the director of the study. This study confirmed that taking pycnogenol naturally relieves eye and nasal symptoms of hay fever patients owing to lower pollen-specific antibodies, particularly of ocular and nasal distress, end quote. And pycnogenol, pycnogenol. Sharks are now found to be carrying drug-resistant, quote, monstrous bacteria. This is from National Geographic News, John Roach. Our leftover medicines are spawning drug-resistant bacterial monsters that thrive inside of sharks. The finding suggests antibiotics, such as penicillin, may be leaching into the environment and spurring drug-resistant bacteria to evolve and multiply in the oceans. Remember, bacteria have sex. They can transfer genetic material. According to Mark Mitchell, professor of veterinary clinical medicine at University of Illinois, Mitchell and his colleagues found antibiotic-resistant bacteria in several species of shark, bull shark, lemon sharks, nurse sharks, as well as redfish. They live off the coastal waters of Florida, Louisiana, Massachusetts. So stay away from those fish because without knowing it, you're getting in some levels of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, and that could get you sick. And then when you're sick, there's no antibiotic that would help you. Berry consumption moderates cardiovascular disease risk factors. This is from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Quote, moderate berry consumption may help protect cardiovascular health through beneficial effects on blood pressure, cholesterol, and platelet function. And that's important. That's according to this study. So if you have a way of taking berries that can help you prevent a stroke, lower your blood pressure, that's really good. And that's what this study shows. I know many of you are getting your berries every day, but a lot more than what was used in this study. So you should be really protecting yourself against cardiovascular disease. From the Peer Review Archives of Internal Medicine, vitamin D may relieve pain of diabetic neuropathy. Well, when you consider how many people suffer from diabetic neuropathy, it's a lot. 2,000 international units a day of vitamin D for 3 months, it lowered the pain scores substantially by up to 49% less pain with just that. So if you know someone, or maybe you have diabetic neuropathy, vitamin D, 2,000 units a day. From the peer-reviewed journal Circulation, high-dose folate, that's folic acid, may protect against damage caused by heart attack. And scientists pre-treated rats with 10 milligrams folic acid per day or placebo for 1 week prior to inducing myocardial infarction, then restoring blood flow. And the folic acid made an enormous difference in helping the heart. So folic acid for the heart, I would suggest maybe methylated folic acid. That would be best. 800 micrograms to 1 milligram. Pycnogenol improves memory in the elderly, according to another research, at 150 milligrams a day. The very pycnogenol I just mentioned, but this is a different study in Australia. So it can help you with memory. Pine nut oils significantly increase satiety hormone, reduce appetite. This is in Lipid Health and Disease. And what that means is that pine nut oil can cause you to feel full, and hence you're going to be eating less and you'll lose some weight. I've never seen a study on pine nut oil, so that's good. Stress fractures reduced by calcium and vitamin D. I was just counseling a friend whose mother at 84 fractured her hip because she was deficient in calcium. But if you take calcium and magnesium at 800 milligrams a day, plus boron at 5 milligrams, manganese at 10 milligrams, and vitamin K3, 2 milligrams, you're going to substantially reduce your risk of osteoporosis. And this study, which was published in the Journal of Bone and Mineral Research, they had 5,000 female Navy recruits. They gave them 2,000 milligrams of calcium and 800 units of vitamin D a day, or a placebo. And they had 20% lower risk of incidence of stress fractures than the placebo group. Vitamin E helps lengthen the survival in Alzheimer's patients. That's good news. Quote, patients with Alzheimer's disease who supplement with vitamin E may live longer than those who do not take the vitamin, according to findings at the American Academy of Neurology's annual meeting. 1,000 units, twice a day, along with a overall program, made a difference. And that's not even organic and natural vitamin E, and that's not with tocotrienols, and that's just with one alpha-tocopherol. I would have used mixed, but at least they're getting good results. From Cancer Epidemiology and Biomarkers Review, just one cup of green tea daily cuts ovarian cancer risk by 50%. Quote, green tea consumption may help prevent ovarian cancer in women because the disease is difficult to detect in its early treatable stages and a foolproof screening test is not widely available. An effective means of preventing the disease, quote, remains the only feasible approach to reducing ovarian cancer mortality. In this study, there were 781 women diagnosed with primary invasive or borderline epithelial ovarian cancer compared with a group of 1,200 who were normal. And they reduced it by 54%, which is one cup of green tea daily. Quote, green tea, which is commonly consumed in countries with low ovarian cancer incidence, should be further investigated for its cancer-preventing properties. How about that? That's good news. And also, hypertension or high blood pressure is associated with poor cognitive performance. This was in the Journal of the American Geriatrics. What this means in lay language is that when they studied 6,000 men and women aged 60 and over, if they had high blood pressure, they were more likely to have poor cognition and poor memory. It's easy because they have shrinkage of the arterioles and the capillaries that feed blood into the different tissue, including the brain. So when you're on a living foods diet, you're going to have better circulation to the brain. Cod liver oil reduces rheumatoid arthritis drug requirements. This is published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Rheumatology. Here's what it says, done at Oxford University. Patients with rheumatoid arthritis may be able to reduce their dose of nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories by adding cod liver oil to their daily regimen. You bet. This was by 59% lower their use of medication. Quote, fish oil supplementation should be considered in rheumatoid arthritis patients to help them reduce their nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory intake in order to attenuate the risks of gastrointestinal cardiac conditions. I remember Dale Alexander was called the cod father because more than anyone else in American history, this jovial man who was a friend of mine, who never did anything for himself that was healthy, was morbidly obese. He had arthritis, he was bald, and he was obese, and yet he wrote a book on hair growth, overcoming arthritis and diet. Man, I can't. But he was just one of these wonderful. He reminded me of W.C. Fields, who reminded me of. But he got people taking cod liver oil, and it helped them. So cod liver oil for arthritis. And finally, magnesium deficiency is linked with cell aging. This is important because we don't want the DNA sequences, the cap chromosomes, to be shortened. Magnesium helps the process so you don't end up undergoing accelerated senescence or aging. So that's crucial. Get your magnesium every day. I'm Gary Nall, talking about the issues that make us healthier, live a longer life. For those who say, Gary, I've got some pain in my joint, I don't have a lot of money, I'm not all that sophisticated, what do I do? Well, here's what you do if you've got joint function problems. Now, there's about 14 different things ideally you should take, but you tell me that you're on a very limited budget. I respect that. There's always help, something we can always do no matter what our circumstances. Something is inexpensive. It's only about $14 for a large bottle, would be bromelain. Brome, B-R-O-M-E, lane, L-A-I-N. Now, bromelain is, it's very crucial because it can help soothe minor injuries like sprains and speed recovery from surgery. It's good for treating sinus nasal inflammation after surgery. It is a concentrated extract derived from pineapple stems, and it contains natural enzymes that help with joint inflammation and destruction. And now sufferers of joint inflammation can benefit by taking bromelain. So if you don't have much money and you want just one thing, then at least that will make a difference. All right? And I would take 500 milligrams. That'll help you out. Vegetarians are happier than meat eaters. Whoa. This is from Planet Green, from Alternet. Quote, yet another reason to adapt a vegetarian diet. The journal Nutrition Journal finds vegetarians have lower incidence of depression, anxiety, and other mood problems than their meat-eating neighbors. And that's in this latest study. And it was a large study. And the reasons why they believe is because the vegetarians are eating a higher concentration of the omega-3 fatty acids, and that is very important for brain health. And also, vegetarians scored lower on depression tests and better on mood profiles than fish and meat eaters. So they're saying that it is because of the fatty acids. It may be a part of it. I don't believe it's all of it by any means. And mainstream science is finally catching up. From Science Daily, from the American Chemical Society's national meeting, quote, rosemary, thyme, clove, mint, these are all used in cooking, but there's a bigger picture. These well-known spices are now becoming organic agriculture's key weapons against insect pests as the industry tries to satisfy demands for fruits and vegetables among the growing portion of consumers who want food production more natural ways. Quote, we are exploring the potential use of natural pesticides based on plant essential oils, commonly used in foods and beverages as flavoring. That was from the professor doing this. Now, I'll put this in perspective. Go up on GaryKnoll.com, look under photographs, and some of those photographs you will see the Fertile Earth Farm. There you'll see me pulling a billy goat across the field because he was playing havoc with all the guests and butting them, didn't want anyone to get hurt. You'll also see a large organic field. You'll see us doing all kinds of work. It was a wonderful experience, and about 10,000 people from this audience came up, spent weekends up there in the summertime from Memorial Day through Labor Day. We had a great time. Now, you'll also see in the garden that we had huge kale and broccoli and heads of lettuce. And yet, how is this possible without getting all this eaten by bugs? Because I would go around every day with a simple little mister, and I would spray every plant with cayenne and garlic, ginger, and rosemary. Those natural oils will not hurt the plant, but protect it against predators. That's the way you do it. They're finally catching up. But you could see what we were doing all along. By the way, I just put two new photographs up from last week that I took showing you the benefit of feeding bees raw organic honey. What I do is when there's so much honey in the hive that there's no room for the bees, they have overproduced it. I take that and store it. Then come the winter, December, January, and February, where they really don't have any thing to pollinate as such because nothing's blooming. I then feed that every day back, a cup to two cups a day. You'll see thousands of bees swarming over the honey. So they stay healthy and they don't go out and search for, let's say, wild clover or something far away, and then they abandon the hive. This one hive I've had for 19 years, which is a long time, ask any beekeeper. But it's feeding the bees when they need feed. Most people forget that. They'll give them some stupid glucose water. In any case, you'll see some of the beautiful fruit that I just harvested, and I'm holding it there. And also some sprouts that were sprouting. All the sprouts you see on that rack had in happen in 6 days. That's it, 6 days. And enough to feed you for a month. And just pennies a day. So take a look at those photos. We're going to take a brief break, come back in about, I would say about 5 minutes. We'll 5 or 10 minutes, we'll go to our guest. But on our way out, you all remember George Carlin. He had such an insight into human nature, and we enjoyed it because it was so true, and biting at times. Let's hear what he has to say about our educational system.
Consumption. It's the new national pastime. F*** baseball. It's consumption. The only true, lasting American value that's left, buying things. Buying things. People spending money they don't have on things they don't need. Money they don't have on things they don't need. So they can max out their credit cards and spend the rest of their lives paying 18% interest on something that costs $12.50. And they didn't like it when they got it home anyway. Not too bright, folks. Not too f***ing bright. But if you talk to one of them about this, if you isolate one of them, you sit them down rationally, and you talk to them about the low IQs and the dumb behavior and the bad decisions, right away they start talking about education. That's the big answer to everything. Education. They said we need more money for education. We need more books, more teachers, more classrooms, more schools. We need more testing for the kids. You say to them, well, you know, we've tried all of that, and the kids still can't pass the test. He said, oh, don't you worry about that. We're going to lower the passing grades. And that's what they do in a lot of these schools now. They lower the passing grades so more kids can pass. More kids pass, the school looks good, everybody's happy, the IQ of the country slips another 2 or 3 points, and pretty soon all you'll need to get into college is a f***ing pencil. Got a pencil? Get the f*** in there. It's physics. Then everyone wonders why 17 other countries graduate more scientists than we do. Education! Politicians know that word. They use it on you. Politicians have traditionally hidden behind 3 things. The flag, the Bible, and children. No child left behind. No child left behind. Oh, really? Well, it wasn't long ago you were talking about giving kids a head start. Head start, left behind. Someone's losing f***ing ground here. But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting f***ed by a system that threw them overboard 30 f***ing years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your f***ing retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich f***ers who don't give a f*** about them. They don't give a f*** about you. They don't give a f*** about you. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue that's being jammed up their every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
We have another one. This other one was from the movie Network. I want you to hear this, because this is important. It reminds us that when we're really looking at the world we live in, we should take a moment and we should be concerned enough that we become angry. We should be enraged by the injustice and not just sit back and be lulled into some sense of distraction. This is from Network.
Don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman, because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've got to get mad.
67.
Say,
I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
We're not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Good. People should be mad and not just sit back or distract themselves. I'm Gary Knoll. When we get mad, we do documentaries, articles, investigations, bring people on the air who can give us enlightenment, and we are making progress. First, I want to commend all the people who went to Tallahassee yesterday in Florida. I'm sorry I couldn't join you, but I'm on the road. But I heard about it. I heard about all the buses that went up there to protest against the pollution of our water and gas hydrofracking coming into Florida. Good for you. That's what's needed. Those people wouldn't have gotten on those buses, taken the time, spent a whole day traveling, if it weren't for the fact that they were not committed to making it a better world and the selflessness of working together. If you don't think that we're making a difference, go up on GaryKnoll.com or ProgressiveRadarNetwork.com. Google Seeds of Death, Prescription for Disaster, The War on Health, The Drugging of Our Children, Knocking on the Devil's Door, Seeds of Death, and look at the number of searches, where it comes up on the search, so people are becoming aware, and then they're sharing that with people. Look at the thousands upon thousands of sites that are posting information on calls to action from all groups. We act as a repository. We clear information, we create information, we work with hundreds of environmental and social activist groups, and we bring them on the air, and we put their articles and documentaries up, and then get people to get what they need to move forward at the local level. We're publishing one new article, investigative reporting article, social issue article per week. That's an awful lot of publishing and research and scholarship. But that's how much is needed out there. This is from Anthony Gussiardi. Quote, activism is destroying Monsanto and other corrupt mega corporations by Natural Society. In just the past few weeks and months, we have generated powerful traction in the fight against corrupt mega corporations like Monsanto and others. And it all comes down to consumers refusing to purchase additive-loaded food products, deposit cash with banks that are spying on them, or tune in to the latest propaganda news hour on MSNBC. Ultimately, we are no longer consumers but activists in the sense that we can no longer sit by and watch our food supply and freedoms are tarnished at the same time by a merger of corporate and government corruption, a merger that is historically fatal to the heartbeat of any nation that allows itself to be swallowed by the bloodthirsty psychopaths who currently hold many high-level positions in both these sectors. Our activism is paying off. On the food freedom front, we have already seen major corporations like Kraft and Subway make a 180-degree shift towards removing toxic substances from their food, allowing major outcry from activist consumers. In fact, Kraft act to remove artificial preservatives from their highly popular cheese singles signifies the reality that these corporations know they are quickly going to lose their entire consumer base if they do not start removing the synthetic garbage from their food. Even larger in scope, it was Subway that announced it would be removing a rubber chemical from its bread just 24 hours after the issue was brought up on the Alex Jones show with a food activist. And that's just on the food front. We have been contacted by legislators who have revealed that thanks to exclusive information leaked via StoryLeak, such as the reality of Bank of America is actually spying on anti-government protesters for the federal government, legislation has been launched to protect our privacy in an entirely new way on statewide levels, and it's expected to pass. We have seen the same sentiments in exclusive interviews regarding anti-drone spying legislation, which is yet another reminder of how simple it can be to spring real action from truth. It is how real change is made, and this is how reality is broadcast around the world through the domination of media headlines. So, just keep sharing the information with one another. Post documentaries, articles. Our latest article, for example, on health issues was on the subject of dementia, and it's everywhere. Also on fluoride, 365,000 different websites carrying it. We're guesstimating 10 million reads. So share information. Empower people. We're doing it. And you can do it as well. Now we're going to take a quick break, but before we do, and come back with our guest for the remainder of our program talking about transhumanism, just a few minutes, no more than 3 minutes, to let you know that we have a special, and this is the only program on all 24/7 that ever has to raise any funds at all, and all this goes to the Progressive Radio Network. The new product is the Supreme Health Formula. Now, I was out of this. I reformulated it for almost 11 months, and I appreciate the patience people had, but we now have it back, and this is the big container, the 300 tablets, and this is the one with the 1,200 milligrams of vitamin C from ascorbyl palmitate and calcium ascorbate, magnesium ascorbate, and nicotinamide ascorbate, and the vitamin A and magnesium and D and E and B1, 2, 5, 6, 3, pyrimethaminobenzoic acid, grape seed extract, and coenzyme Q10, and quercetin, and ginkgo biloba, yeah, and broccoli, acerola, hesperidin, glutathione, linoleic acid, ginger, DHA, superoxide dismutase, B12, biotin, calcium, iodine, manganese, zinc, chromium, and then the real superstars for the brain: alpha-lipoic acid, trimethylglycine, phosphatidylserine, isoflavongenistein, inositol, lutein, 25 milligrams lutein, high, citrus bioflavonoids, MSM, L-taurine, N-acetylcysteine, L-lysine, ornithine alpha-ketoglucarate, choline bitartrate, phosphatidylcholine, acetyl-L-carnitine, and bromelain. They're all in here. So if you want to take one single supplement that does so much for you, that is so all-inclusive, so integrated into your biochemistry, this is it. There is no other. I know of no other product that can do what this does in your body. It is called the Supreme Health Formula. Now, here's our special for today. The Supreme Health Formula and the award-winning documentary, Age is Only a Number, that you're getting absolutely free. So you're saving $89 today when you call the number and get this package. Supreme Health Formula, 300 tablets, and Age is Only a Number, the award-winning documentary on the aging process. All right? Now, I'm going to give you the number to call, and you can call in right now and get this. And then my hope is that people will start to use this 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, the Supreme Health Formula. Because a lot of people have a lot of different vitamins, and they don't know what to take or how much. Is it too little, too much? Will it work, not work? I've done all that for you. I put everything that's really important for every part that I know into one tablet. So this really makes it easy. Throw it in your blender in the morning, and then drink that down. Supreme Health Formula. Plus, I'm giving you a $40 award-winning documentary on the aging process. Very definitive. You haven't watched this before. Age is only a number. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. As many times as we've loved and we've shared love and made love, it doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough, baby. It's not enough. Oh, oh, baby. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, baby. Girl, I don't know why. Can't get enough of your love, baby. Oh, some things I can't get used to. No matter how I try. It's like the more you give, the more I want.
I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Noll. From Spain, let's say hello to Daniel Estulin, E-S-T-U-L-I-N. He is a investigative journalist and author living in Spain. He does really outstanding independent research, and he was the one who infiltrated the agendas and conversations conducted at the infamous Bilderberg meetings. He has a background in military intelligence, and he's been researching the history and ongoing activities of Bilderberg and some other groups for a long time. His recent book is Transevolution, The Coming Age of Human Deconstruction, which lays out a future map of where humanity is heading within the rush to create a trans or post-human. Nice to have you with us today, Daniel.
Gary, it's a pleasure and an honor to be on your show. I'm a big, big fan of yours.
Thank you. Before we look at transhumanism, I'd like to touch briefly on groupthink. You know what that is? That's Aldous Huxley's sternly warning about what most people truly don't comprehend, the full extent of how mainstream corporate media seduces the masses into becoming party of groupthink. As you have noted, 85% of people get all their information about the world from television. And now it is not just television. Entertainment and radio are part of that. Also, the social media networks such as Google and Facebook and Twitter and others. All of these corporations are fully intermeshed with the global elite's agenda, and even worse, with the government's intelligence, surveillance, and data collection. We now know that thanks to Snowden's leaks. Facebook, in particular, is extremely insidious with its close relationship to individuals such as Peter Thiel, who sits on the Bilderberg Steering Committee, and Bill Gates and Jim Beyer, who has close connections with the CIA and DARPA and military contractors, KKR. So explain to us how our addictions to social media dumb us down, and also in what ways does this benefit governments and the global elite demands for a population that is passive and subservient? And that's why I played Network, because he said in Network, Paddy Chayefsky's great film, you know,
great film, yes.
You know, he just said when he was going crazy, he said, you know, you don't get your information from these people. They're there to manipulate you. The form is yours. Take your time.
The whole point is you hear a lot of talk about people saying that the government wants to turn the Internet off. The government doesn't want to turn the Internet off at all. And let me just explain to you why. As you said, social media is a very big part of being able to monitor what everybody's doing on a global scale. Let me just give you one example. Twitter, something so simple as, you know, 140 characters, but in fact it's a lot more than that. It's a wealth of information. You have your IP address, location, when you opened your account, all in all about 37 pieces of data in each Twitter tape. But what's more is that Twitter conversations, they're real-time statements from, you know, tens of millions of people for one moment to the next. They hold a wealth of information. It's what's called, you know, trending topics. How does the world's mood, for example, change throughout the day as a result of a particular event or a whole series of changes orchestrated otherwise? We could be talking about Venezuela, we could be talking about Kiev. You know, so Twitter and social media allow a person or a group of social engineers to understand systems. It allows them to capture conversations on a societal scale and see them all and put them in perspective from a much higher plateau, something that was up to now absolutely impossible. Basically, you're the consummate big picture. And then if you're talking about other systems, you're talking about Microsoft, you're talking about Facebook, you're talking about Google, Microsoft. How many people know what Cassandra is? I don't think many. Cassandra is a program that absorbs every drop of your information on Facebook. And Microsoft needed to analyze and dissect you, so they created their own program to invade your privacy. Google is another great example. We know what Google is, but what people don't understand, for example, Gary, is that Google is not Google, it's Google, G-O-O-G-O-L. That's the spelling of the word. And Google, the number, is an infinite number, a 1 followed by 100 zeros. Infinity has no limits, but then neither does Google, or do people really think that the owners of the company simply pulled this cute, funny little name out of the hat? And all of these corporations, you know, Google, Microsoft, Apple, they all form part, you know, of the military-industrial complex. All of them, as I said before, are members of the Bilderberger inner circle, and all of them, not only are they Bilderberg-affiliated corporations, but they know when you sleep, when you wake up, when you watch television, when you do whatever it is that you do and how you do it. And when you put it all together with so many other programs out there, you have the ultimate big picture on a grand global scale of 7 billion people, and that's scary.
Many of us may remember the CIA's MKUltra research and operations that explored mind control and brainwashing and gaining control and manipulating a person's thoughts and activities. This was all brought out in the open, under oath, at the famous Church Committee hearings in Congress in the 1970s.
Yeah,
we had also learned that the CIA had destroyed the majority of the MKUltra files, except for 3 boxes of files which made the committee hearings possible. So we don't really know the full extent of their research and experiments. However, mind control goes back a long time in history. Today, we don't hear as much about primitive and invasive forms of mind control that were being experimented on in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. However, ways to control the mind and the masses and psychologically manipulate them are still being studied by military intelligence agencies. Today, in the 21st century, what do you believe is the kind of mind control most likely being employed?
Well, you know, we can go away from the, you know, conspiracy theories right into the domain of mainstream. You know, television, Fox has a new series out. It's called Almost Human, or one of the main characters is a cyborg cop. Let's just look at that for a second. You know, the series focuses on neuroscience, which is a study of the nervous system. Now, with advances in chemistry, computer science, engineering, medicine, and many other disciplines, neuroscience now also includes the study of molecular, cellular, structural, functional, evolutionary, computational, and also medical aspects of the nervous system. So from molecular and cellular studies of individual nerve cells to imaging of sensory and motor tasks in the brain, neuroscience has literally crossed the threshold of science and has become a key element of national security apparatus the world over. And this is just, you know, one of the so many things that are out there being done on the global stage. And again, technology is an amazing thing. A lot of people, after reading this book, Transevolution, The Coming Age of Human Deconstruction, where I explain how literally we're standing at the cusp of this greatest evolutionary change in the history of mankind, where in the next few years, the very definition of human being will be completely redefined as a result of these amazing discoveries in synthetic biology and in so many other sciences. But neuroscience, again, you know, the study of the nervous system and the brain is a very important element of the whole, you know, juggernaut of national security apparatus control, and also the idea of transhumanist vision of the future.
Good. Now I'd like to turn our attention to the rather amazing technological innovations during the past decade and how they can completely alter our entire perception and understanding of what is meant by being a human being. This concerns transhumanism. Most listeners will be unfamiliar with this because it is never discussed in the major media and has been progressing rapidly outside the public view. Government, military agencies, scientific and medical associations, private corporations are investing massive funds into the technological feat to radically alter the human body and its mind and the entire human experience into something other than what we have normally considered naturally human since the dawn of humankind. And some call this the creation of a post-human or anthropogenic bionic-created person. Many of these innovations to augment the human being are coming from medical research and the interface between our organs and computer and electronic technology. But there is also a darker side of this research being performed that would create bionic super soldiers and warriors. And the technology has progressed so quickly that the template is now in place to even mechanically control the human mind. So take the rest of our time now and talk about that they have gone from the dream of a cybernetic artificial immorality to what they have now been able to create in the transhumanism dynamic.
Well, you know, transhumanism is this ultra-high-tech dream of computer scientists, philosophers, neuroscientists, futurists, people like Ray Kurzweil, you know, the tech director at Google, Michio Kaku, Jason Silva. You know, it seeks to use radical advances in technology to augment the human body, you know, our mind, and ultimately the entire human experience. And to most people, as you said, you know, it sounds something like some kind of a science fiction film, but people simply are not technologically savvy. They don't understand how incredibly advanced and powerful today's technology is. For example, neurochip interfaces, which is computer chips that connect directly to the brain, they're being developed right now. You know, lifelong emotional well-being is also a key concept within the transhumanist movement. If you look at some of the things that actually we're going through, scientists, you know, neuroscientists nuclear scientists, Nobel Prize winners, who comprise this transhumanist agenda movement, they're convinced that by 2035, that's like in 20 years from now, we will be able to transfer one's personality to an avatar of our choosing. They call it this, you know, the beginning, the epoch of cybernetic immortality. And in one generation, by 2045, bodies made of nanorobots will take any shape or rise alongside hologram bodies. And we're talking about a new era dawns. It's the era of neo-humanity. And this is just one of the many aspects of this amazing, just awe-inspiring stuff that's out there, which needless to say is very dangerous. It all depends on how you use the technology. Another element is synthetic biology. And again, in one of the biggest breakthroughs, Gary, in recent history, scientists have created a synthetic genome that can self-replicate. And what that means is they can literally create a being in the laboratory. And what that means is that the generation of our children, you know, the kids who today are 15, 20 years of age, they're the last truly 100% human generation of human beings on the planet. Their children will be transhuman children, post-human children, men machines, cyborgs, beings who are not totally human. But as I said in the beginning of the interview, they're a generation of our children is the one final generation of 100% totally human beings on the planet Earth. Their children will be modified. And that is why, again, we're standing at the cusp of the greatest evolutionary change in the history of mankind. And this isn't the stuff that I'm making up. I got the initial impetus to write this book, Transevolution, out of the report I got from my sources at the 2005 Bilderberg Conference. And the report was called Strategic Trends Report 2007-2036, which was a secret source document on the future of humanity. People can download it for free off of the internet. It's called, again, Strategic Trends Report 2007-2036. And in that report, these people, you know, who are the creators of reality, you know, explain to you what this blueprint that they have in mind, this nightmare future for us, is the, you know, the basis of my book, Transevolution.
My final question is, nanotechnology is the big technological craze at this moment, and it's being applied to designer drugs, vaccines, food ingredients, household products, and so much more. Few people realize how rapidly our lives have become thoroughly exposed to nanoparticles. What has always concerned me about this technology is that the CDC and the National Institute of Health, who are funding large numbers of private nanotech research and development firms, are turning their backs on the risks to human health and the environment from nanomolecules. And on their website, you will not find safety of nanotechnology as an initiative for research and funding. We don't know what will happen.
They're not turning their backs. It's our impression that they're just not doing their job. But they're doing exactly what you know what they want. Just the same way as, you know, if you don't have education in the United States or anywhere else in the world, proper education, it's because the government is getting exactly what it's paying for. You know, the problem with nanotechnology, especially if you're talking about nanoweapons, they attack a target at a molecular level and then use the molecules of their target as raw materials to replicate more copies of themselves. So we're talking the capacity to create these nanobots and have the capacity to destroy plants, animals, and ultimately humans. And this is how wars will be fought in the future. And the point between the difference between nuclear technology, and that's my background, you know, I come from the, you know, counterintelligence nuclear technology field, you know, and nanotechnology would be like comparing a bow and arrow that would be nuclear, you know, and a guy with a machine gun, you know, an M16 or bazooka, that would be nanotech. There's simply no competition. And nano wars of the future can very easily destroy the entire planet.
I'm going to invite you back for a full hour on our Progressive Commentary Hour on
Monday
night.
I would love to be back.
So we can go through the good news in this for all of us who are over 50, seeing our bodies decline, diseases occurring, and how the new transhumanism, the science of the biology.
There's a lot of upsides.
Give us a lot of chances to live our lives over again and be healthy, but that will be for a full hour. Thank you very much, Daniel, for coming on and giving us an insight into transhumanism.
Thank you for having me on your show, Gary.
The website is Daniel, ESTULIN.com. The book is Transevolution, from the Coming Age of Human Deconstruction. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening. We don't have time. I have to rush over and do some fundraising right now, so I'm going to say goodbye, and I look forward to being back tomorrow.